We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/Wondery.
Jones looking to run. 4-on-2, the lob, 2-0. Otto to dunk it home. And Jim Christian wants a timeout.
Hurt inside. Here's the cutter and Jack White. Outside, Baker for three.
Oh! Joey Buckets filling it up in Cameron.
To the left corner, Hurt. A good look from three.
Count it! Happy New Year indeed.
Duke at home crashes into the new year with an 88-49 thumping of Boston College.
I think it's really been our best decade, you know, with two national championships and averaging 30 wins a year and four ACC tournament titles and I don't know how many number one seeds. And yeah, that's a heck of a decade. And again, with different teams. And that means a lot of kids have played well. A lot of kids have played really well for Duke, and a lot of them are now playing well in another league as a result of doing that. So it's been a very unique decade. You know, the 80s was sensational the last 5 years. The 90s, we had two incredible teams, you know, right at the beginning and at the end. And in the middle, I got really sick and knocked back, and we had to rebuild our program for 2 years. But this decade, pretty much, you know, we've been in the hunt the whole time, and I'm proud of all these guys.
We talked about it a little bit on the last podcast, but it's still kind of hard to wrap your mind around. 300 wins in a decade. You heard the head coach talking about it there just a moment ago. David Schumann alongside Associate Head Coach John Shire. Welcome in to the Duke Basketball Podcast. And all those numbers he was throwing out with the national championships, the ACC tournament titles, and averaging 30 wins a year for a decade, ridiculous.
No, it is. I think people lose perspective, you know, how hard it is to win 30 games, and the fact we've done it so many times says a lot about coach, says a lot about our program, and also the fact that our standard is to do more than that. So it's been pretty cool to reflect and look back over the last decade to see all that's happened.
And as we embark on a new year, of course, the newest iteration of the Duke Blue Devils, number 2 in the country, 12-1 overall, and now 2-0 in the ACC off of that home ACC opening win over Boston College in impressive fashion, 88-49. So as we get into the meat of this thing with the ACC schedule here on the podcast, we're going to get a little more into the weeds looking at each week of the season. Of course, coming up, we'll look at the opponent coming up this weekend in Miami. But I do want to chew over this six-game winning streak that the team has been on, particularly this kind of recent moment with the last three games, because the first two were without Trey Jones, dealing with a minor foot injury. And I think we'll talk about Trey in just a second. He was dynamic in his return. 10 assists, just the one turnover. But Jordan Goldwire, in his absence, I don't think you can say enough about what the young man did.
Yeah, he stepped up big time. And, you know, I think that's been the story of this year where whether a guy is down from injury like Trey was for two games or a guy gets in foul trouble, somebody picks him up. And that's what Jay Gold did. He was really solid in the two games. He ran the team. You know, we had that stretch there in that second game versus Brown. It wasn't going as well, but he bounced back. He stuck with it. And obviously we got two wins, most importantly.
Yeah, you look at some of the numbers. I'm going to crush you today with stats, so just be ready for that. I know you love when I hit you with numbers. 6 points a game doing those two games for Jordan Goldwire, 5 assists a game. Of course, the first one, 5 assists and no turnovers, 30 minutes a game. The other trend, I think, and some of this is lost, and the rightfully so, the focus on Trey Jones and the point guard position, the emergence of all these wing scorers. You had Joey Baker right before the holiday break come up and pop up with 5 three-pointers in a game against Wofford, and then right out of the break, Alex O'Connell has a really good game, 14 points against Brown. And then here's Matthew Hurt, outscores Boston College all by himself in the first half, finishes with 25 the other night.
Yeah, well, can I just add about Jay Gold, not only his stats were great, but his defense, you know, for two games, you know, he's dogging the ball, he's making steals, creating turnovers just with his activity. So that was great to see. But and when you talk about our wing scores, you know, and just other scores in general, it's been a different guy. You know, I think you've seen Matt Hurt. You know, he's been trending just in the right direction. We've been really happy with what he's doing in practice and how hard he's working. And it obviously translated for him in the game against Boston College. But the shooting, the weapons that we have shooting the ball is a little different than last year. We have multiple shooting threats. And then the fact we can go inside to Vern at any point, you know, makes us a team that can go inside and out, can play small, can play big. And obviously we need to continue to know where our spacing is, know how to move and how to share the ball and things like that. But it's been exciting to see us play that way.
It's funny because I think guys that played the game, obviously, like yourself and have been around the game for a long time, see it differently. And a lot of people might look at that Boston College game and say, Vernon Carey Jr., 9 points, 9 rebounds, 4 blocks. Good game, but Vern's done some bigger things. And I was talking with Daniel Abrams, who does the broadcast for Boston College, obviously played up there. And that was the first name out of his mouth. He said he totally affects the game because, yes, just the 9 points, but that's because Boston College had to collapse on him and you get those wide open looks on the perimeter.
It's a great point. You know, we showed multiple clips in our feedback to the team where just by hitting Vernon created wide open shots for our team. And you know, Vernon doesn't get anything in the box score. He doesn't get an assist. But twice, Vernon caught it. He swung it to Cassius Stanley. Cassius swung it to Wendell, and Wendell ended up getting a wide-open layup. That was because of Vernon. There was a time in the second half Vernon caught it. There were literally 4 guys around him. And just so our guys can see the amount of tension that is surrounding Vernon, you know, there's a reason he draws the most fouls in college basketball.
And you're exactly right. He shot the most free throws in the country for any freshman and certainly on track to have some big numbers as we go deeper into conference play. As we said, the Blue Devils have reeled off 6 consecutive wins during that stretch, giving up just over 60 points a game. You look at the last 4, 55 points a game, even smaller the last two. The last two opponents, 50 points or less, talking about Brown and Boston College. First time since the 2010-2011 season that's happened here at Duke. And a lot of people look at different numbers and how do you want to analyze that. And, you know, the KenPom numbers, if you want to go dig them up, Duke is right there at the top of the country in terms of teams that play at a very quick tempo, but also can limit what other teams can do on the defensive end of the floor. So often when you see teams not give up a ton of points, it's because there just aren't that many possessions. They slow right. It down similar to like an option attack in football. You know, but you guys are going up and down the floor, averaging, you know, ACC best, better than 80 points a game, but still not really giving up anything.
Yeah, well, I think the reason you don't see that a lot is because it's hard to play that way. It's hard to play fast offensively and push the ball. You exert a lot of effort when you do that. And then to get in passing lanes and to play the way we played defensively, I think that's one of the things that's been great to see about this team. You know, we had 10 guys in the Boston College game play double-digit minutes. And so, you know, it's a chance to wear people down. And you need more than five, six, seven guys to do it. And I think this year's team, the depth that we've played and the guys that have stepped up has allowed us to play that way.
Oh, you talk about that depth. I told you I got numbers for you today. 10 different players averaging better than 14 minutes a game. That's a piece of it. You never know how that's not always going to be the case as you get into league play and different matchups played themselves out. But that's a huge deal, and I think in particular for a minutes eater, you look at last year what Trey Jones did, a guy who can obviously go the distance, play 40 minutes a game, but to be able to spell him with 5 or 10 minutes with the quality of player like Jordan Goldwire, I think is something that, you know, the collective wear and tear on your body can pay huge dividends when you get to the back end of the season.
Well, we truly believe by March we'll be stronger as a team. You know, obviously we have a lot of pieces that are still coming together, but just in terms of, you know, body breaking down and all those things, you know, we try to do our best in practice, not to overwork them. You know, coach does a great job of practicing certain time span. Let's get it in hard, and then let's get out. But then by March, you know, where Trey's not playing 40 minutes every game, I think that'll also, you know, pay off big time.
There was one moment in the Boston College game, I think, kind of psychologically in the second half where you could tell the Eagles were in a bit of a tough spot because, you know, Trey Jones goes out for a breather and you're thinking, okay, I've got some room to work here. Talking about Derek Thornton and those guys that run the point, Heath and company. And right off the inbound pass, Jordan Goldwire gets a steal. And it's like,
right.
Oh, no, there's another one.
Right. Well, you know what? When Trey's guarding you and then he gets subbed out or he's off of you, your tendency is to want to, all right, take a breather. Like, this guy's off of me. And then Jordan comes in and we always talk about it. You need to come in even harder because their tendency is to let up, and that's what Jordan did. And so for 40 minutes, if you're an opposing guard, you know, you have those two guys defending you. If we're in the right mindset, it can be a heck of a challenge.
And that was an 88-49 win for the Blue Devils, a 39-point win over Boston College. Of course, Duke has totally controlled the series with the Eagles, 22-3 all-time. That was the largest margin of victory when you look at the series between the two. And Boston College is one of six teams that the Blue Devils will face twice this season, going to see them up in Chestnut Hill a little bit later on this year. So before we move on and talk about the ACC writ large, I do want to talk about this window. And a six-game winning streak fits nicely into the fact that I want to talk about that road trip through East Lansing and then a stop in Blacksburg. You know, the 13-day break for exams, you got to come back, be ready to play against a Wofford team that's really good. The guys go home for a few days around the holidays. You have that challenge when you come back. This time of year, it feels clunky is the best word I can come up with. It's kind of stops and starts, and be able to play at such a consistent level throughout, I imagine, has to be encouraging.
Yeah, it has been encouraging, although I wouldn't say we were very consistent. I think there were some kinks to work out when we came back from break. You know, we only had a day and a half of practice, and so I think now, previous to the Boston College game and now going into Miami, not only are we preparing for the opponent, but we're trying to get back, like you said, to who we are, who we want to be, and now hopefully we can get in a rhythm because from here on out, you know, we're playing multiple times a week, and the season's off and running. It's going.
It is interesting for me anyway, 13 games in, 18 games left. It does feel like, okay, here comes conference play. I know two league games are in the rearview mirror, but used to the 18-game league schedule, and now off we go as the team heads down to Miami this weekend. I do want to throw a couple numbers at you and get your perspective on what's the most impressive. When you look at the ACC in terms of statistics, I think 13 games in, you can get a little bit of a feel for where teams are at with most of non-conference play behind them. Duke leads the ACC in all of these categories, 83 points a game, better than 20 points per game. That's the scoring margin. The average margin of victory is 20.8 points per game. Rebounding has been solid, plus 10 on the boards, nearly 7 blocks a game. Individually, Vernon Carey Jr. leads the league in field goal percentage, and Trey Jones with a ridiculous 7 assists per game. A lot of those, Duke is right up there in the national rankings, leading the country in scoring margin, and right on down the list. Is there one that pops to you as a coach when you look at that stuff? And I know you give me the side eye. I know you love all these numbers and the rankings and how relevant they are in terms of who wins.
Come back to me in 2 months and let's see where we're at, and then it'll be worth something to me. But you know, it's good. But the reality is ACC play is different, and we need to continue to get better in a lot of these areas. You know what happens is now you're starting to play opponents who know you a lot better. They're going to try to do different things. We're going to see zone. We're going to see, you know, different kinds of man-to-man and different defenses. And so I think now, how can we adjust to how teams are playing us? You know, the further you get into the season, the more teams know your strengths and, you know, what they think your weaknesses are. So, you know, that's let's come back to this in a month or two and see where we're at. I will say the thing, to answer your question, you know, you saw with Trey in the game against Boston College, the assists per game, when the ball's moving around like that, it's contagious. So it just changes the way your team plays. The fact that he had 10 assists and one turnover, I actually think that can even go up for him, you know, the 7.4 assists. It just, that makes a big difference for our team. And then I'll say a second one with Vernon, just the efficiency that he plays with inside is incredible. And not only early in the game, so you get other teams in foul trouble because of Vernon, but then just the sheer production and points and the efficiency is key.
Do want to touch on, we talked about, you know, the performances by O'Connell, by Hurt, by Baker. We've seen Wendell Moore Jr. pop. We've seen Cassius Stanley earlier in the year before his injury. And really of late, it seems like he's getting back into form. You do a lot of time watching tape and scouting the opposition. Put your hat on. If you're scouting Duke, I feel like the thing that probably drives you crazy, you know what Vernon Carey Jr. can do. You know the problems Trey Jones can present. There's eight other guys, and you don't really know who's going to be the one's going to pop off that night.
It's fun for us, and I know for other opponents, I think it's different scouting us than even these past few years where, you know, you can key in on one, two, three, four guys. But this year, we have 10 guys, like I said, 10 guys playing double digits the last game. Now, whether that continues, obviously we need to keep it going and make sure we're playing the right way. But it's a different thing for us, and it's refreshing. You know, we had a 1 year when I was here as a player my sophomore year. It's truly like an old-school Duke team where you can wear a team down, you can get after them, and like you said, it might be Joey Baker one game, it might be Matthew Hurt, it might be Cassius Stanley, it can be anybody. So that's exciting.
And I do think, and I've been saving talking about these two because I do think it's important to put it in this context of when you look at championship teams and teams that have the ability to run deep into March, it always seems like the older guys that don't have egos. And I want to talk about Jack White and Javon Delorier.
Yep.
The points and stuff that, you know, guys like me can get wrapped up in, they're not always kind of right there. But those are two guys that are willing to go in and do the dirty work, what it takes to win. I imagine that's pretty unique and pretty special to have your older guys, your captains, being willing to do that work, you know, even if it's not getting 15, 20 points a game.
Right. Well, it's funny. I was having a conversation with somebody a couple days ago, I forget who it was, but we were talking about the 2015 National Championship team, and we were saying how good of a team it was, and the really three guys, but you think of Emile Jefferson and Matt Jones, the roles they played in addition to Marshall Plumlee. Like, when you have veterans who know their role, are tough, they don't care about anything other than winning. And that's what we have with Jack and Javon. And Justin Robinson, by the way, you know, people don't get to see him every day in practice what he does. But those guys bringing their toughness, rebounding, defense, and all they care about is winning. It gives other guys confidence because they know what to expect. So going on the road, ACC, it's a different animal. It just is. They're ready to go, though, and they've set a great tone for our team.
And we talked about guys that the opposition's going, oh, no, here's another one. J-Rob over the holiday break was averaging about a block a minute when he came into the game.
He sure was. He had three in the Brown game and then came back and definitely altered some shots in the last game.
Yep, hit a three against Boston College, had two more blocks in the game against Wofford, had five right around the holidays. Cool to see him out on the floor and having a true impact for this team. So let's talk about the ACC. It was crazy to me when I saw the other day with Duke's win over Boston College. There's three unbeatens remaining in league play. We're only two games in. It's wild when you look at the three teams, you know, familiar faces, Louisville, Virginia, and of course Duke. Duke is the highest ranked team in the ACC, number two in the most recent AP poll. But just a couple of games in, I think it speaks to kind of what a maybe topsy-turvy year it's going to be in the ACC.
No, it is. And, you know, I think throughout time in the ACC, you've seen anyone can beat anybody. But I think this year in particular, the way the schedule was, first game of the year, teams don't really know who they are. But even with that, I think it's going to be that kind of year. So every game, a win is a treasure. You know, you got to go get it. Because, you know, like me and you have talked about in the past, any game in the ACC is competitive and you can definitely lose. So we'll see how it shakes out.
And, of course, it was a very impressive win over Boston College. I was at practice the day before, and from my perspective, it was one of the better practices I've seen going into a game with the guys talking. It was so loud at Cameron Indoor Stadium, and there were no fans in there. Just the guys were getting after it. from a coach's perspective, one, do you agree with that sentiment? But two, I would imagine really rewarding to see a really good practice roll into a really good performance in a game.
Yeah, well, on both those things you made, I think one, you know, coaches always said, you know, the younger teams you have, the less they talk. And so that's been a huge area we've, you know, talked to our guys about is our communication and in-game being able to yell a lot of the times to talk what our ball screen coverage is, to encourage each other, to get on each other. And so that's something we're getting better at. We're not quite where we want to be. But the other part to what you said was, you know, we really did a great job of that the day before our Boston College game. We're loud. We were enthusiastic. We talked. And coaches always said, you know, preparation leads to confidence. So I think that gave our guys confidence for the game. And they did a heck of a job in the game, obviously, with their defense.
And as the team gets into the meat of the ACC schedule, now 18 games to go, what is the most difficult thing about conference play? You touched on earlier the familiarity. Teams kind of have a sense of what you do. Obviously, the talent in the ACC is at the top of the country. And the coaches aren't bad either.
You can never relax. That's the tough part. So you go through a course of 2 months, and every game you play, I mean, there's a challenge with every game. Obviously, going into Miami, there are many things that concern us that we have to address and get ready for. And then it's the same thing when we play at Georgia Tech, same thing when we play Wake Forest after that, and then at Clemson, and then Louisville at home. You can go on and on. Every game is a challenge. You can't relax.
And as we said, we're going to be checking in each week during the season, give you a little scout on the upcoming opponents. So let's talk about Miami. Saturday night at 8 o'clock in Coral Gables, the Hurricanes are 9-3. They're 1-1 in the league, coming off of an impressive overtime win at Clemson, 73-68. Kind of a three-headed monster at the guard position when you look at McGusty, Vasilevich, and here comes this 5'7 guy likes that no one seems to have an answer for.
Yeah, they're explosive, and they can hurt you in a lot of different areas. Like you said, it's not just one guy. It's three guys. You know, really any of the three can go off for 30 points in a game. And so you need to be alert for all of them, know where they're at. They're an explosive offensive team. They're a team defensively. They can change defenses, give you multiple looks. But they're going to test your ball screen defense, as always. You know, you need to be ready to play ball screen defense. And then with Likes, he's as quick as anybody in the country. He's relentless. And, you know, we need to make sure you keep him out of our paint and limit his shots.
And they seem like guys, and correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, you look at that game against Clemson. Vasilevich hit the dagger in overtime, a contested three-pointer on the
right
perimeter. Likes hit a crazy shot at the end of regulation to get them to overtime. It seems like a team with the playmakers they have in those two guys and McGusty as well, you don't want to be in a one-possession game late because they can do things that really no defense has an answer for.
Well, they have incredible confidence, and they have the freedom to shoot any shot. And so sometimes when you see those guys play, you might think it's a bad shot, but it's really not because they can hit tough contested shots. Their team needs him to score, and so you can't relax on him. You can't think you've done your job, and Vasilevich is 4 feet behind the line. Like, that's a shot he's capable of hitting, and not only hitting, but making it at a high percentage. So, no question, it's something you need to keep an eye on the entire game.
One thing that I think is consistent, though, from non-conference play, and I think people would be curious to get your perspective, you know, the talent level jumps up dramatically, but I think that mentality when Duke walks into the building is very similar to when you have a non-conference team that, whether it's in Cameron or on a neutral floor or even on the road, they've had this one circled. I mean, and coaches talk about this a lot. The team that you guys see is not the one you're necessarily going to see on film in a scouting report.
No, it's not, and I think we've learned that throughout the year already. And, of course, you can point to Stephen F. Austin being an example of that. But really, any environment we've played in, whether it's up in New York for the 2K Classic, whether it was at Michigan State or at Virginia Tech on the road, I think we've learned it's going to be very tough environments. And when I say very tough, I think that's what you want, right? Like, as a player, would you rather play in a, you know, stadium full of screaming fans and it's loud, or of a half-empty place? And so I think for us, we're lucky to play in great environments and, you know, just really want to seize the moment when we go to these places.
All right, before we get a three-point shot up and get out of here, we talk about the key players for Miami. If you could, kind of one or two things for people to keep an eye on to say, you know, I guess keys to the game is cliche, but things are going pretty well for Duke if these things are being taken care of.
Well, I think no matter who we play, you know, our presence on the offensive boards and defensive boards, you know, you talk about, you know, your stats that you mentioned earlier.
You may run through them again.
Yeah, you should. But when we're out rebounding the team, you know, that's a big key, and, you know, that'll be the same thing for Saturday night. You know, we need to be hungry on the boards. And then, you know, really just ball screen defense. Miami's a team. They play a lot of one-on-one, and they play a lot in ball screens, and so our defense with that needs to be on point.
We're looking forward to it Saturday night, Duke at Miami. Before we get out of here, get a three-point shot up, and we've been kind of looking back. This is Coach's 40th year here at Duke, looking back at some memorable moments, and this might be one of my favorite topics of the entire season. Coach was kind of joking after the game about he showed some fire in the game against Brown. We saw our first jacket toss of the season. There are times I look down during a timeout and he's drawing up a play and talking about things, and there's other times where it looks more like a spirited conversation. Do you have a favorite moment? Obviously, in retrospect, in the moment may not have been fun when Coach has showed his passion.
We've had I've been fortunate to see Coach have a lot of spirited conversations with me and my teams. I don't know if I can pick out one right now. Dude, that's great. You stumped me on that one.
I think while you're thinking about it, I think what goes underrated sometimes, and obviously this is all in good fun after the fact, the managers in the second and third row make some really nice catches on those throws, and you probably don't get to appreciate that.
They do. You know, I'm in the moment as well. I think I was right with them that day of, you know, being spirited. In the moment, I think it definitely – the fact he doesn't do it a lot, when he does it, you know, you better – you know, lock in right there.
And more often than not, the team responds to it. I mean, it's not like some gamesmanship or strategic thing. He's getting the guy's attention.
No question. I think it's just his instincts. It's not a planned thing. It just, I need to throw my jacket right now. And it's worked.
It certainly did and turned into a 25-point win over Brown. All right, let's move on to our second topic, keeping the wardrobe thing going. Player, coach, however you want to dive into this, your favorite uniform combo for Duke, obviously broken out at least one new one this year, a couple more to come. They haven't kind of taken a look behind the curtain yet. Going to take the home whites off the table because I think that would be the preeminent choice. But what's your favorite uni combo?
You know, I give Nolan Smith and Dave Bradley a lot of credit. They really helped build our uniform collection for this year and work closely with Nike. But I would say my favorite uniform combo that I've seen is not one that we've worn yet, but we're going to wear in the next couple weeks here. So am I allowed to answer that way?
Absolutely. I mean, that's, so that is our, what they call in the business, a tease.
I'll just say they're special, and they're special. Just look out for them.
All right, there you go. Breaking news here on the podcast. All right, last one before we get out of here. I know you got to get ready for Miami. New year, new resolution. You buy in? You got something you're working on?
Oh, I got a lot. It's personal, though. It's very personal. I got a lot of things I want to do better in my own life. But as far as at work, I want to be a better podcast partner. You know, I want to show up on time. I've done that. I'm 0-for-1 so far, but I'll be better here as we go along.
Oh, then as for those that are listening, you may not know, Coach Shire has been working with me, educating me on coffee and the ways to appropriately caffeinate yourself to take on the day.
You can't order just plain coffee with cream from Starbucks. So, do you have any resolutions you're working on? Knowing your trivia, is that what you're going to say? Want to attack the Duke MVP stats trivia better?
No, you inspired me on the last one. I'm going to work on creating some game day superstitions. I had a salad on the road before the Virginia Tech game, so from here on in.
You got to stick with it.
You think they've got salad down in Miami, right? All that fresh produce.
They
it's
must.
90
they,
degrees
they,
all the time.
They must, yeah.
All right, so the Blue Devils and the Hurricanes on deck this weekend, and we will talk to you guys next week.